This is your NXT TakeOver review, TakeOver in Your House, for June 7th, 2020. I am the Solemn Monster. I hope everybody's having a great night. Thank you all. I'm sorry for the delay here. I didn't expect the event to go off the air that early, although that's not a bad thing. It's actually one of the things I kind of like about NXT. I thought on the whole, this was another very good TakeOver show, but definitely missing something. This was not on par with some of the great TakeOver shows. And a big part of that, frankly, was the fact that it was missing one of the biggest ingredients of these TakeOver shows, which was the live audience. Now, I know they try hard. They have the NXT talents. The PC people are there. You know, they're making noise, and they're doing This Is Awesome chants, which sound kind of forced. But you know, at least they were there to make noise and be lively and be active. But it's not the same, right? You can't replicate 10,000 people, 12,000 people in a building going nuts for these NXT matches. And even in terms of the matches, which I thought on the whole were very good to excellent in some cases, it just fell a little short, I think, of the bar that they've set for themselves in the past. So I had a good time watching this show. I thought it was very good, but just not at the level of what we're used to getting when it comes to these NXT shows. One of the things I loved about this show tonight, maybe the biggest thing I loved about this show tonight, was the throwback nature of a lot of the things that we got, especially right when the show started. If anybody was a fan of the WWF back in 1995, 1996, like around that point, the signature that used to open the show was the World Wrestling Federation for over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment, right? Y'all remember that guy's voice, the voiceover used to do it? And so they took us back in time tonight. They had an NXT spinoff on that for over 5.5 years. NXT, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment. And not for nothing, I would keep that. I would actually open every NXT show with that instead of the usual then, now, and forever stuff. Like, leave that for Raw and SmackDown. Let NXT have something a little different, right? Let NXT have something a little special. Why not? Why not? Todd Pettengill. Doesn't get more old school than that. Todd Pettengill, who they had brought in to do some promo stuff in the last week or so. They must have filmed everything with him in one day. He wasn't there live. At least I don't think he was. But they had taped a whole bunch of stuff with him. And he looks virtually the same. Actually, I kind of agree with what he said. He was talking about the fact that, like, aside from the mullet, which he gave to me, as you may or may not be able to see, besides the mullet and the earrings that he used to wear, he basically looks the same. He looks the same. He sounds the same. This was a nice throwback. All we needed was Michael Hayes as Doc Hendricks. Get the two of them together in studio. It'd feel like the old Action Zone days. Remember Action Zone on those Sunday mornings on USA? I do. I was watching Mania. I was watching Action Zone. I was all about that stuff on the weekends. All the syndicated shows back in the day. Lots of old school vibes with tonight's TakeOver show. Right on down to the old production music. So when the show started and they had the initial video package, Todd was doing the voiceover for it. And you may have noticed that they had the old school like production music that they used to have for some of the video packages for like the big matches back then. The song they used tonight is actually one of my favorites. That's actually one of my favorite production themes that they use. And for those of you who are dying to know what it is, or, oh man, what's that song called? Well, you're in luck, because the song is called Native Son. So if you want to listen to it, if you want to rip it, or whatever you want to do, go on YouTube. It's called Native Son, or type in production music Native Son, and it'll come up. It's a great, great piece of music. Great song. We got a live performance by Code Orange to open the show tonight. Code Orange is the same band that did the music for The Fiend. They did the music for The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, and so they opened the show tonight. They were performing their song Underneath, which, you know, was fine. I'm not a huge, you know, I can't say I'm a huge fan of the song they went with, but, you know, it was fine. It was fine. We got the old school In Your House set, or at least some variation of it. They had NXT branding on it this time. The windows to the house kind of doubled as the Titantron, which they didn't do that back then. So, you know, clearly it was inspired by the old In Your House set. And the only thing missing, honestly, from all of these throwbacks, the only thing I felt that was missing on this show was the old red, white, and blue ring ropes. Like, that would have completed the package, right? Red, right, and blue ropes. Then I would have felt right back in 1995, although I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing. Mara Rinaldo, Tom Phillips, and Beth Phoenix were on the call tonight. We had Mia Yim, Tegan Knox, and Shotzi Blackheart against Candice LeRae, Dakota Kai, and Raquel Gonzalez to open the show. Went just shy of about 10 minutes. You know, good opener. I it's one of those matches that I didn't really think needed to be on a takeover show. You know, it just felt like any match you would see on television. This could have been on television this Wednesday. It wouldn't have made a difference. I guess they just wanted something. They just wanted a six-person tag to open the show. Tegan Knox went for a leaping Rana. Or at least it looked like one. Gonzalez caught her, dropped her with a powerbomb. And Mia Yim, it looked like she was a second late, maybe like a split second late on the save. But she broke it up, got shoved out to the floor. And at that point, Mia and Candice, who have had an issue over the last few weeks, they brawled to the back. So they're gone. They're out of the picture. Tegan and Shotzi, they took out Raquel Gonzalez after Dakota Kai caught her, I don't even know what you would call her, I guess her bodyguard, I guess, her heavy? Or would that be considered offensive? I don't know. But she accidentally caught her with an errant kick to the face, so she was out of the picture. Lady Kane chokeslam by Tegan Knox to Dakota Kai, and the Shiniest Wizard followed for the win. So Tegan Knox gets the win. I would have given the win to the heels, but again, not a big deal, and not a match that I think belonged on this show, frankly. We'll see if that miscommunication between Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez leads to anything on television this week. It may be forgotten. Or perhaps it could lead to something. These two haven't been together very long, only a few months. Seems a little premature to split them up, but then again, I said the same thing about Chelsea Green and Robert Stone. We got an old promotional consideration paid for by the following. Only it was not the voice of Lord Alfred Hayes, because he's been dead for 15 years. I know they used his voice on some of these old school Raw shows they've done. We've heard them use Lord Alfred's voice. I assume because they had to do a whole ad read, though, for these new ice cream sandwiches. It would have been stupid to use his voice and then switch to somebody else. So we got the next best thing. Instead of hearing Lord Alfred's voice, we heard another Brit. We heard William Regal, who I did not recognize his voice at first, but it was, in fact, William Regal doing the voiceovers. That led into an ice cream sandwich commercial. So for those of you who don't know, they have brought back the WWE ice cream bars. They're not really ice cream bars the way they used to be. Remember, they had like the long bars with the cookie and the chocolate and the vanilla back in the day when I could still have ice cream. Oh, I used to run out to Mr. Softy truck would come down the block playing that stupid theme song that I heard earlier today. And I'd go running to the truck and I'd get my WWF ice cream bar. Oh, those were the days. Well, those days are dead. Because these are not ice cream bars. These are ice cream sandwiches. They have a cookie. There's no chocolate. That's like the best part. How are you going to do an ice cream sandwich without having some kind of chocolate middle or filling or something? I mean, I guess if you're a kid, you don't give a shit because ice cream is ice cream. But if it were me, that would be quite the disappointment. I'll tell you what I think is the funniest thing about these ice cream sandwiches. And yes, I see a lot of CM Punk in the chat. CM Punk actually did a taste test of the new bars on WWE backstage, and he said they suck. So imagine you're CM Punk. You've been waiting, what, 9 years to get these ice cream bars back? 9 freaking years, and finally you get to bite into one, and you're like, this shit sucks. That was quite the disappointment. But the thing I love about this, so there's only, as I see Kevin Dunn on the screen, chowing down on some pizza. The thing I love about this is the fact that there's only 4 superstars who are on the cookie bar. Four different choices of superstar that you can choose from. Roman Reigns, John Cena, Becky Lynch, and Macho Man Randy Savage. None of whom are currently active on the WWE roster. Now, Macho Man, of course, we know why he's not active. But Roman's not active, Cena's not active, Becky now is not active. So you got all these current stars on the roster, and none of them could be featured on these ice cream sandwiches. I just think that's kind of funny. We had Finn Balor against Damian Priest. This may have been my favorite match on the show. I have to think about that. If it wasn't my favorite, it was definitely one of my favorites. I thought this was an excellent match. Priest at one point hit a broken arrow, which was basically just a giant Falcon arrow, on Balor for near fall. Balor fought back, standing double stomp. Both guys are down. Now, the ring steps had been set up outside the ring. They were moved over, and the top part of the ring steps was removed, right? So you just had the flat bottom part of the ring steps. Damian Priest had Finn Balor, and he, at one point, leaped off the steps, and he dropped him with a razor's edge down on the ring apron. Okay, so that was okay. That was pretty cool. I'm going to come back to those steps in a second. Priest brings Balor back into the ring, hits a couple of leaping elbow, like diving elbow shots in the corner, goes for a third leaping elbow. Balor counters, hits the sling blade. Both guys are down. Balor hits the shotgun drop kick, and he goes up to the top rope, goes for the coup de grace. Priest jumps up top, and he gives him a choke slam all the way from the top rope down to the mat. Damian Priest, and by the way, they mentioned at one point that Damian Priest lost over 100 pounds. I knew he had lost weight, like even from his Ring of Honor days. I didn't know he lost 100 pounds or over 100 pounds. I got to see these photos of Damian Priest pre-weight loss. I have no memory of him being nearly that heavy. Maybe he, I guess he was. That's pretty impressive. The guy's in great shape. So if he lost over 100 pounds, then hey, you know, hey, more power to him. That's awesome. I didn't know it was that dramatic. So Priest drags Balor over to the apron. And he's going to hit the razor's edge. He's going to hit the razor's edge to him onto the ring steps, the flat part of the ring steps that had been moved over. Outside on the floor that I mentioned a little bit earlier. Balor slipped out. He escaped. And he kicked Priest. And the idea was that Priest would fall backwards. The problem is, he fell backwards and he landed right on the edge of the ring steps. And as soon as I saw that, it reminded me, well, it reminded me of two things. It reminded me of Rick Rude. In 1990, I guess, four it would have been, in Japan, that match he had with Sting, where I don't remember what building it was, but they were in some, you know, arena in Japan, and they were on an elevated platform. So the ring was on an elevated platform, and the, you know, a few inches down, then you had the floor. Rude was knocked out to the outside of the ring. Sting comes flying over the top rope. Just a giant flying dive. And he lands on Rude, and it just so happened that when Rude fell backwards, he fell the lower part of his back right on the edge of the platform. Now, somehow, this crazy guy, he finished the match. I think he even won. But that may have been, I think that might have been the last match he ever wrestled. His career was over. I know he was training for a comeback before he died, but that was it. He suffered a terrible back injury. He went out. He had a Lloyd's of London insurance policy. That was the end of his career. You go back and watch it. It's brutal to watch. But it also reminded me of the Royal Rumble in 98, Shawn Michaels in the casket match when he got backdropped right in the lower part of the back. Just a few inches up, maybe it wouldn't have been so bad, right in the lower part of the back. And he thought his career was over, and he managed to come back from that. I hope that he'll be okay. In both of those cases, both guys finished the match. Just because Damian Priest finished the match here doesn't mean that he's not hurt. Rick Rude finished the match. Shawn Michaels finished the match. They both won their matches. Unfortunately for Damian Priest here, he was not so lucky. But it looked like I think what was supposed to happen is he was supposed to land flat back on the steps, and I think Balor would have done the coup de grace off maybe a springboard or off the apron and down onto the steps. I think that was the idea anyway, so he just misjudged the distance, and boy, he paid the price for it, unfortunately. Hopefully he's okay. But back in the ring, Balor hits the coup de grace to the back of the neck, as if he needed that. Back up to the top rope, hits the coup de grace one last time, finishes him off. So Finn Balor gets his revenge. Finn Balor, as I suspected, I talked about it earlier today in my predictions, Finn Balor gets the win. And I said, you know, in my predictions, I said Balor should win. Balor should win because this should not be the only battle between these two guys. They should do it again. And having had the chance now to watch the two of them work together, they work together brilliantly. I'd love to see them do it again. I'd love to see them go to a third match. Let Priest win the next one and let him win the second one. Or the third one, I guess. I wouldn't mind seeing another couple of matches between these two guys, the way they worked. I thought this was excellent. This may be my favorite match on the entire show. Back in old school mode, we got an Ico Pro ad. We got an Ico Pro ad with Adam Cole at the gym. He was parroting the old Bret Hart ad for Ico. I mean, a bunch of guys did Ico Pro ads back in the day. Tatanka did one. Lex Luger did one. Razor Ramon did one. Bret Hart had one where he's walking down, you know, in the gym, and he's looking in the camera, and he goes, Ico Pro, you gotta want it. So they had Adam Cole mimic him. And how do I know that it was the Bret Hart ad? Because he did a mock Canadian accent. I think he said like a boot or something. I remember what he said, but clearly he was mocking, or not mocking, but like mimicking Bret Hart. You know, if Adam Cole took Ico Pro, we wouldn't have Road Dogg going on podcast talking about how small Adam Cole is. And how if he was the size of Karrion Kross, he'd be the Universal Champion right now. If you missed that clip from the podcast today, it's going up on YouTube tomorrow morning, so watch for it. Maybe he needs to get on Ico Pro. He'd be Adam Cole would be Adam Swole. Keith Lee against Johnny Gargano for the NXT North American Championship. I was today years old when I learned that Johnny Gargano has a picture of Doc Hendricks on his wall at home. Because who among us does not have pictures of Doc Hendricks on the wall here at home? Now, I don't. As you can tell, you can't see one. I have no Doc Hendricks pictures, but teach their own. So they said Gargano was looking to become a two-time, I think the first ever two-time NXT North American champion. Gargano, one of my favorite parts of this whole match, early on, he's trying to escape Keith Lee. Keith Lee is like a big grizzly bear, right? Grizzly Magnum is one of his moves. And so Gargano is just trying to escape. No pun intended. The Gargano escape. And he's trying to go through the door of the In Your House set. Now, what they had, they obviously had that ring security system. So we got a bird's eye view from like inside the door. Not even the door, like the whatever, the security cam that they had installed next to the door. And he's trying to open the door and it's not opening. And in the background, you could see Adam Cole, or not Adam Cole, Keith Lee, you know, marching towards him. And rams his head into the door. I just thought the way that whole shot was set up was hilarious. I thought that was great. We had Gargano digging at Lee's injured eye, the same eye that he injured on television this past week. He took his car key, remember, on TV on Wednesday? And he jammed it into his eyeball. So he was working over the eye. Gargano spiked Keith Lee head first onto the floor, tornado DDT. Couldn't get him back in the ring. Keith Lee is a big dude. What is he, 280? At least 270, 280. He's a big man. Johnny Gargano is not a big man. He was having trouble getting him back into the ring, and he rolled back into the ring, got the referee to stop his count. The referee yelled at him. So when Gargano came back outside, Keith Lee, he pounced Johnny Gargano, he body checked him, into the plexiglass, and he broke through the plexiglass. And I kind of joked about it on the podcast earlier today. Yeah, I was saying, clearly the plexiglass is just there for show. Yeah, they wanted to see how it looked like on TV. It doesn't matter. You know, they got people in the crowd. They're not trying to protect anybody, because everybody who comes into the Performance Center, or in this case, Full Sail, as far as they claim, is being tested. I think all they're doing is taking their temperature. I don't think they're doing actual COVID testing like AEW is. But if everybody is being tested, then what the hell do you need plexiglass for, right? It's just there because they're trying to get us, I think, used to the idea of seeing it when crowds do come back eventually. Because if it was there for the safety and the protection of the people in the crowd, then when you start, like we saw this on SmackDown, Sheamus threw Jeff Hardy into it, broke the plexiglass. Keith Lee here body checked Johnny Gargano, broke the plexiglass. Boy, you know, if they're looking out for their health and safety, that doesn't bode very well for the people in the audience. Plexiglass is only so good if it's actually intact. If it's broken, it doesn't really do shit for you. So Candice LeRae came out to distract Keith Lee and, of course, Mia Yim. Remember, they had brawled to the back in the opening match. Mia Yim was right behind her, and they kind of, their actions spilled into the ring. And they start fighting, and as all of this is going on and the referee is distracted, Johnny Gargano reaches into his trunks and he grabs his keys. I don't know if it was his house keys, his car keys. Grabs his keys and he jams it into Keith Lee's good eye. His one good eye. And he jams it into the eye. Referee didn't see it. Lee manages to fight back, though, hits the spirit bomb, hits the spirit bomb. I think he hit a second one, too, and hit the, he hit the BBC. Keith Lee gave Johnny Gargano his BBC, and Keith Lee, that, of course, being the Big Bang catastrophe, and he retains the North American Championship. This match may have been the hardest one to call on the show, because it really could have gone either way. Johnny Gargano just turned heel, so you could say, well, he needs this big win. Keith Lee, though, hasn't been the North American champion for that long, and I just felt like he shouldn't have been losing to Johnny Gargano, so I went with Lee in my predictions, but it could have gone either way. So I'm not surprised, but now we'll have to see if they continue this or if it's one and done. I would think it would continue, because what else is Johnny Gargano going to do? You know, if not keep coming back for more, maybe eventually he'll win it. Maybe in the rematch, if there is a rematch, maybe in the rematch he'll win it. Brian Becerra, thank you for the $25. That's the new Butcher and Blade Super Chat. I'm sorry I missed that. Thank you. Said that the NXT title match between Cole and Dream to him was a huge disappointment. All right, well, I'll give my perspective on that in a moment here. JD Starlord, thank you for the four. Have you seen the Steve McMichael Twitter account? I have seen the Steve McMichael Twitter account. And I got to say, you know, I knew Steve McMichael was not a great wrestler. He was not one of the better members of the Four Horsemen. But I kind of felt like Mongo got a little bit better over time. I kind of vaguely remember seeing some Mongo matches that were not that bad. And now that I go back on Twitter and I watch these old Mongo clips, he was fucking horrendous. He was, like, comically awful. You talk about somebody who had two left feet in the ring as a professional wrestler. In the chat, somebody will mention the name of the Twitter. If you're not following it, you guys should follow it. It's just a Twitter account that has nothing but gifs of Steve McMichael just fucking things up left and right in his matches. It's like the Twitter account where Rick Rude sells the atomic drop. It's just a bunch of GIFs and video clips of Rick Rude over the years. No sound. Just video of him selling the atomic drop, because there was nobody as good in wrestling at selling the atomic drop, which is a lost art. You don't really see that move anymore. Nobody was better than Ravishing Rick Rude at selling or overselling an atomic drop. There's a whole bunch of Twitter accounts like that that are actually very entertaining. But yes, I did see that. Terrible Trey 89, thank you for the 10. Could you imagine The Fiend against Karrion Kross? One day? Maybe one day. Chris Quillman, thank you for the 5. And Lord Frieza, thank you as well for your great support. Adam Cole against Velveteen Dream for the NXT Championship. First ever NXT backlot brawl. If the Dream fails to win the title, the stipulation was that he could never again challenge for the NXT Championship so long as Adam Cole was the NXT champion. That was the stipulation coming into this match. This was done cinematic style. I was shocked at first that they were going with this and this was not the main event until I saw the finish, and then it all made sense. Once you saw the finish of this and you saw the finish of what the main event was, it became clear why this did not go on last. I thought the backlot brawl was fun for what it was. I did not enjoy it as much as like the Boneyard match at WrestleMania. That was a lot better. That was a lot more fun. But I enjoyed it. I mean, you know, they made the most of their surroundings. What I did not like were the constant camera cuts. And I mean, the Boneyard has that too. But here, I mean, it was like cut, 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 cut. It's like one after the other after the other. It's like, all right, pick a camera angle and just stick with it. Okay, you don't have to cut. You're not Michael Bay. That was a little much. But I thought it was fun. So the ring was outdoor. We kind of heard the description already of what the match was. It was a ring outdoors. It was out back on a lot behind Full Sail. Surrounding all of the, surrounding the ring were cars that were driven there by the NXT talents and the trainees from the PC. They were told, drive your car to work that day because we're going to need them. And so they were surrounding the ring. Apparently they were all up until 1:30 in the morning last week, you know, trying to film this match. So Adam Cole arrives in a pickup truck, decorated or adorned by Undisputed Era flags. Velveteen Dream arrived in a yellow Lambo, yellow Lamborghini. He was dressed up in leather as Negan from The Walking Dead. He even had the baseball bat. No barbed wire, though, unfortunately. There can be only one Lucille. So they wrestled in the... And I don't know why he was dressed as Negan, but I guess that's his thing. He kind of dresses, he cosplays as different people during his matches. Hulk Hogan, Negan. I guess that's just his thing. Well, too bad it didn't work out for him tonight. Maybe he should stop cosplaying like he's at fucking Comic-Con. So they wrestled in the ring for a little bit. Match could only end inside the ring. Drake Unger was the referee. He said, you guys, you do what you want. You can wrestle all over the place. You could kill each other. But the match can only end inside the ring. And after like a couple of minutes, Adam Cole says, the hell with this. He grabs his belt. He gets into one of the cars. Not his car. Someone's car. And Dream takes a baseball bat to the car. He's hammering the hood. He hammers the side doors. I sure hope that didn't belong to one of the NXT talents. Although I wouldn't put it past them to do something like that and not tell the person who owned the car. They did that to poor Howard Finkel, right? He passed away a few months ago. And many years ago, actually, this was in the first year of Monday Night Raw, back in 93. Maybe like May of 93. There was an angle they shot outside the Manhattan Center where Mr. Perfect attacked Shawn Michaels. And somebody got thrown, I think Michaels got thrown onto the hood of a car that was parked right there, and I think his foot went through the windshield. Well, that was Howard Finkel's car. It might have been his rental car. I don't know if it was his actual car. But that was Howard Finkel's car, and nobody told Howard that they were going to do that. So I think the company obviously paid for it. But that, imagine if that's your car, and they don't tell you, and then they're off on the side giggling and laughing over it. If that's my car, I'm going out and murdering somebody. Like Stevie Ray going after Vader at Battle Bowl back in 93. If you missed that story, you gotta listen to the mailbag on the podcast this week. That's a whopper of a story right there. So all of a sudden, as they're brawling, this woman pulls up in a car. She goes, somebody call for an Uber? I guess that was supposed to be funny. And they brawl kind of like through the car. And then the referee tells the woman driver, just get the hell out of here, drive off, and she drives off. So that was comedy. And so they're just kind of walking around. Now they're using their surroundings. Cole disappears. So we don't know where Adam Cole went. Velveteen Dream is looking for him, like something out of a movie, you know, come out wherever you are. And he's trying to open doors to the building there, and none of the doors are opening. One of the doors does open. And as soon as he walks in through the doors, we see this plume of smoke from a fire extinguisher. Cole caught him in the face with a fire extinguisher. They brawl for a while longer. Eventually, the other members, I don't think Kyle O'Reilly was there. I think it was just Roddy and Bobby Fish. But the other members of Undisputed Era, they arrive. They arrive at the exact moment that Velveteen Dream and Adam Cole are up on a ladder. And Cole sees them. He's like, hey, guys, what's going on? And, you know, I guess he's distracted. And at that moment, Velveteen knocks him off the ladder. And Cole takes a bump down onto a car, onto the hood of a car and the windshield down below. And so he shatters the windshield. And they showed him. And he sliced his arms up pretty good. Or at least they staged it to look that way. Look, it's a cinematic match, right? So there's ways to shoot this where you can stop filming, bloody him up, and start filming again. This looked pretty seamless. Maybe he did get cut up. I don't know. But with these cinematic matches, you can never be sure. So the Undisputed Era guys, they start tossing chairs into the ring. Pile of chairs mounting in the ring, ECW style. And Roddy tried to reach for either a ladder or another chair under the ring, and somebody jerked it underneath the ring. I think it was a fucking Hornswoggle under there. What's going on here? And out comes Dexter Lumis. This creepy little bastard. Dexter Lumis comes out. He's got a chair. He beats on Undisputed Era with the chair. He takes Roddy. He throws him into the trunk of a car. He takes Bobby Fish. How much fish could Bobby Fish fish if Bobby Fish could fry fish? He throws him into the back, into the trunk of the car, gets in the car and kidnaps him and drives off. Committed a felony here on television. So off they go. And that was the end of Undisputed Era. We didn't see them again after that. So now it's down to one-on-one, Cole and Dream. Cole went for a Panama Sunrise to Velveteen Dream onto the chairs inside the ring. Dream countered into the Dream Valley Driver on the chairs for a near fall. Cole fought up to a seated position, so he's trying to, you know, kind of make his way up. He's sitting in a chair. And off the top rope comes Velveteen Dream. He comes off the top, and he hits the Purple Rainmaker elbow to Cole, who is sitting in a chair, knocks him down, and only got a near fall out of it. He only got a near fall out of that. Now, Velveteen is talking shit to Adam Cole, saying all kinds of crap to Adam Cole. Adam Cole, in his mind, well, it's no DQ, so fuck it. And he gives him a low blow, which is perfectly legal. There's nothing wrong with either, you know, hitting somebody in the dick, kicking him in the dick. Undertaker would love this match. So he gives him a low blow. Down goes Velveteen Dream, the idiot that he is. He's talking shit instead of trying to win the match. And Velveteen Dream, unfortunately for him, this match didn't end well for Velveteen Dream. And Adam Cole hit the Panama Sunrise onto a pile of chairs in the ring, and he gets the pin. 1, 2, 3. And so the longest reigning NXT champion of all time, Adam Cole, now continues his dominant reign as NXT champion for a while longer because he is still the NXT champion, and Velveteen Dream is not. I watched this finish, and the only conclusion that I could come to is the fact that Velveteen Dream may be moving on up, or moving on down, depending on how you look at it. He may be moving to Raw. He may be moving to SmackDown. Matt Riddle is on SmackDown. Dominik Dijakovic is rumored to be debuting on the Raw brand, possibly as soon as tomorrow night. You know, they're kind of moving some of the pieces around from NXT. Now, unless Velveteen Dream is in the doghouse for some reason, I have to think he's moving to another brand, because what other explanation makes sense? This is his second straight loss to Adam Cole. He has lost twice now to Adam Cole, and now he can never again challenge for the NXT Championship as long as Cole is the champion. Where does he go from here? He's a loser. He's a two-time loser now. The only logical conclusion here is that he's moving to another brand. And as far as who challenges Adam Cole next, you know, we had somebody in the Super Chats before mention the name Keith Lee. I don't see that as long as Keith Lee has the North American title. You know, I don't know. I don't know. I got to take a look at the roster, and I got to see who they have on standby. You know, Karrion Kross is kind of the new guy, but heel on heel doesn't really, I don't know, doesn't really make a whole lot of sense right now, and that's way too early to be thinking about that. But Adam Cole looks like he's going to be champ for a while longer, so that might put all these rumors of his contract being up soon, that might put that to rest. I would have to think that if his contract was due in August, he wouldn't still be the NXT champion right now. So hopefully we'll find out soon enough, but it seems like those rumors may have, you know, there was a report that came out. I think it was WrestleTalk or Raja claimed to have sources that, in fact, Adam Cole had signed a new contract last year, a new 3-year deal. So it may well be that he signed a new contract last year and they were right. And if that's the case, then he's not going anywhere for a while. Let's play some catch-up here. Ant McCall, thank you for the 20. There's my thumbs up. You can give this video a thumbs up, by the way, if you have not already done so. Says, shouldn't the NXT title match be last, especially with the cinematic element? Well, not if the heel's going over. If you've got the heel going over, but in the women's title match, you've got Io, you know, having her big celebration, then it was the right move to make. Then the women should have headlined. They had a very good match. Scott DeVries, thank you for the 5. MJ Nario 22 with the 15 says, short fuse, Sean Simpson. What's going on, Sean? He is a longtime supporter, longtime listener of the show. And Stray Bullet. Oof. I got a Stray Bullet here. $4.99 super chat. Said, Velveteen deserved to go over. I hear he is getting called up. But do we believe that he is getting gold on Raw or SmackDown? Titus O'Neil deserves a push too. Yeah, well, yeah, Titus O'Neil, I don't see Titus O'Neil getting a big push anytime soon. But I do believe Velveteen Dream probably is on the way up. Kinginator NZ, thank you for the 6. Ashley with the super chat. And Jorge Lugo with the $10. What's going on, Jorge? I hope you are all doing well. I'm doing well. You know why I'm doing well? Because we had Todd Pettengill up next. Anytime we get to see Todd Pettengill back on WWE TV, it puts me in my happy place. I enjoy seeing Todd. As corny as he used to be back in the day, I was saying this earlier today, as corny as he used to be, he was very good at his job. He's better than any of the people they have doing it now. And some of the people they have now are good, but they're not Todd Pettengill. You got to remember, though, Todd Pettengill, he's been a radio guy his whole life. You know, even when he worked for WWE all those years ago, he was still a local disc jockey here in New York on one of the biggest radio stations in the city. And I know I don't know if he got laid off or what happened. I think he got laid off a few years ago. And now he's got his own subscription service, I guess, of some kind. But he's been a broadcaster his whole life. So it's not really a surprise that he's very good at this. But they went back to him, and he had some merchandise that he was hawking, and he was like, you got to call 1-900. I forgot the number. And then somebody off camera told him, well, we don't have 900 numbers anymore. We don't have 900 numbers. You don't have to call for your parents' permission anymore. So no more 900 numbers. He plugged WWEshop.com. They had a little comedy scene where he talked about AOL, and they showed Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and Road Dogg trying to work an old... It looked like a fucking Commodore 64 they were trying to use. They were trying to figure out how the thing worked. Technology. Technology has changed a whole... I gotta say, technology has changed a lot since 1995. Technology has changed a lot since 1995. In fact, now that I mention that, hang on a second. You know, I showed you the In Your House CD a little while ago. I have something. You talk about a relic from the past. I'm gonna show you something right now. Hang on a second. I'm going to show you a relic from the past. You guys aren't going to believe this. All right. I can't believe I still have this, but I just remembered that I did. So I am back here. Take a look at this. Well, it's mirror. It's a mirrored image, but... It's a little bright. I know you probably can't see it, but this is the America Online version 1.5. This was the very first America Online disc that I ever got. And I think this might have been in like a PC World magazine. I think it came in one of the magazines, if I remember correctly. This had to be the first one because 1.5 is the first AOL version that I ever had. I still have this freaking thing. Look at this. Floppy discs. Another relic. I got floppy discs. I got CD-ROMs. Look at me. I'm living in the past here. I got to come into the current century. 1.5. Version 1.5 of America Online. Now I'm dating myself. John Falchetta in the chat. Thank you for the $2. Says Ico Pro was the god-awful drizzling shits. Did you actually try Ico Pro? You have more guts than I did. I wouldn't have put that in my system. Oofman Entertainment, thank you. One of our wrenches in the chat. Thank you for the $5. And Magician Sapphire with the $10 drop. Ah, he said the Mongo McMichael Twitter account is at That's Our Mongo. So if you go to at That's Our Mongo on Twitter, you can see what I was talking about a little bit earlier on. He was god-awful. I mean, just absolutely... It's actually shocking how bad he was. It was shocking. Like, it's entertaining, but it was shocking when I saw some of these GIFs on that Twitter. Jared, I hope you're doing well, Jared. Thank you for the 20 spot. Karrion Kross. This was a big night for Karrion Kross. Karrion Kross one-on-one against Tommaso Ciampa. People in the chat are wondering, what else are you hoarding here? Says he always thought AOL was on CD. No. You learn something new every day, all right? I always teach people something new, yes. This right here, before CDs, before the AOL CDs, you had this. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. This will be in a museum someday. Maybe I'll put it on eBay. Karrion Kross against Tommaso Ciampa. This was the biggest test for Karrion Kross so far in his short career in NXT. There was a very nasty spot. I guess it was meant to be nasty, but still a dangerous spot. You know, you're dealing with Tommaso Ciampa, a guy who has a surgically repaired neck. And they did a nasty spot early on where they're outside the ring and he, crossed through Ciampa just neck first, hard. He landed right on the edge of the ring apron. So that looked just wickedly bad. Ciampa did get some offense in here in this match, but not a whole lot. Cross inside, hit a belly-to-belly suplex, wrenched on his neck, so he worked over the neck a little bit more. This did not go very long. I will tell you that. This match did not go very long. And really, it should not have gone very long. You know, Karrion Kross should not be in there, not yet. He shouldn't be in there working 20-minute matches. This needed to be dominance, and it was. Ciampa went for the fairy tale ending. Kross countered into a modified version of an F5, spun him around, dropped him, and he locked in the cross jacket submission, and Ciampa passed out. So Karrion Kross, in his first takeover match, the biggest match of his NXT career so far, picks up a submission win, a dominant submission win over one of the biggest stars in all of NXT in Tommaso Ciampa. Tommaso Ciampa is basically Mr. NXT. He's not going anywhere. He has made it very clear he does not want to go to Raw. He does not want to go to SmackDown. Do you blame the fucking guy? Because I don't. He literally did an interview saying, and I don't think he was joking, I will retire if they tell me I have to go to Raw or SmackDown. He does not want to go. So he's Mr. NXT. And as part of that, he is going to have to be in the position, and Johnny Gargano is the same way, going to have to be in a position where they're going to have to put some guys over and make them look strong. And that's what Tommaso Ciampa did tonight. It was a short match. There was no question about, you know, who the winner was. And I thought Karrion Kross looked very good. He looked like a mean SOB. He was throwing Ciampa around. He was, you know, he was merciless on the neck. Very violent in that respect. I mean, not violent like blood and guts and everything, but I like this a lot. This is exactly what this had to be. And between him going in there as a badass killer and the theme music and the entrance and having Scarlett in his corner, this guy has got to put the rocket on this guy. This guy is headed for superstardom, and he can talk. That's also very important in this company. He can talk. Main event. Actually, before I get to the main event, Young Bibby, thank you for the 5. Jackie Williamson, thank you for the 2. Biscuit Torpedo with the $4.99. And Ant McCall, thank you for the 10 spot. Tony Baloney, I'll call you whatever you want. You donated $10. You want to be called Tony Baloney? Then Tony Baloney it is. You just got to remind me each time or I'm never going to remember. All right, main event here. Charlotte Flair defending the NXT Women's Championship in a triple threat match against Rhea Ripley and Io Shirai. Mauro Ranallo pointed out a very interesting statistic early on in this match that Charlotte Flair has been involved in a total of 66 championship matches thus far in her WWE career. 66 championship matches. Charlotte Flair debuted in NXT, if we're counting NXT, in what, 2014? So in the span of 6 years, she has had 66 championship matches between the NXT title, the Raw Women's title, the SmackDown Women's title, maybe the Divas title too. The Divas title might have still been around when she came to the main roster. That's a lot of championship matches. Not a surprise. Not a surprise. She'll surpass her father's record at some point. She'll have 16. She'll have 18. She'll have 20. She'll be a 20-time women's champion by the time she's done and goes into the Hall of Fame. This should be a surprise to no one, but when you hear that number, it's still kind of jarring, you know? 66 championship matches in 6 years, not counting house shows and all that. That's a lot. Rhea Ripley was wearing two different colored boots, one black, one white. I don't know if that was some sort of social commentary, you know, if that was something that she was doing for that purpose, but whatever it was very distracting. Double spear by Charlotte early in the match took both women down. Tried to pin one woman, Io kicked out. Tried to pin Rhea, she kicked out. We had the usual terrible Charlotte Flair moonsault where she would have landed on her feet, but her opponent got the knees up on the way down. There was a natural selection attempt. Went for natural selection on Rhea, but Rhea dodged it. Io hits a springboard dropkick into the ring, takes down Rhea Ripley. Hits the double knees in the corner by Io to Ripley. But then, as soon as she comes out of the corner after hitting the double knees in the corner, Charlotte catches Shirai with natural selection. And they had me there for a second. I still was like, this can't possibly end this way. But for a second, I did buy into that. But she kicked out. So Charlotte goes for the figure eight on Shirai. Ripley pulls Charlotte out to the floor. And as they brawled around to the other side of the ring by the aisleway, Io hit a suicide dive out onto Ripley. Charlotte threw Io through the window. So the In Your House set had the window with the screen. She didn't go through the screen, but the flimsy cardboard-looking window panels, she went through the panels into the window. And Ripley grabbed a plant, a literal plant, not like a planted fan. She grabbed a plant, and she threw it at Charlotte, and she got dirt all over her. And anyway, as they're fighting outside the In Your House set, we see Io Shirai up on top of the set, and she does this beautiful dive. Dives off the top of the In Your House set, and takes both women out down on the floor. Back inside, Io went for her moonsault. Rhea interrupted. Charlotte came in for the spear. Rhea moved. Charlotte hit the turnbuckle. So now Charlotte is out of the picture. We had a top rope Frankensteiner attempt by Io Shirai, countered by Rhea as she went to kind of come over for the Rana. Rhea held her. And that was when Charlotte got back into the ring to ruin things. Riptide off the middle rope to Charlotte. That was the same move she used to beat Shayna Baszler to win the NXT Women's Championship, but Io Shirai broke up the fall. We had the Prism Trap. What was she calling that before? It was Captain Hook? She had an old name for it. Now they're calling it the Prism Trap, which is not as good as Captain Hook. Prism Trap by Ripley to Io Shirai. Charlotte grabs a kendo stick from under the ring, comes in. She's whipping both women with the kendo stick. She hits Rhea with it. She hits Io with it. And we had... Now, she could do that because, of course, there's no disqualifications in a triple threat match, so it's fair game. Charlotte goes for the figure four to Rhea Ripley. And she gets her in the figure four. It's not the figure eight. At least not... She might have gotten it at the very end, but she has her in the figure four. Io goes up to the top rope. And as Charlotte has Rhea in the figure four, off comes Io Shirai for the moonsault. And she didn't get all of it. But what she got was like the top of Rhea's head. She landed on top of Rhea Ripley's head, which is worse with this moonsault. It's a beautiful moonsault, but she fucked up the timing of it or the distance or whatever, a kind of a rare misfire by Io. And that really was on Io. I mean, look. Rhea's down in the figure four. She's not moving around. It happens, but rarely does that happen. But she did at least clip her head. I thought maybe she knocked her out, but she seemed to be okay. And Io Shirai gets the pin. And for the first time in her career, for the first time in her NXT career, Io Shirai is the NXT Women's Champion exactly the way I was hoping it would go down. Charlotte had to lose this championship. The Charlotte Flair experiment as far as putting the title on her, having her beat Rhea, who had a lot of momentum going into WrestleMania, and beating her at WrestleMania. Now, they had an excellent match, but Rhea lost. Rhea lost at WrestleMania when I don't believe she should have lost. Just to bring Charlotte Flair to NXT to try to pop some ratings on TV, because that, I'm sure that's why they did it. That's a big part of why they did it, and it hasn't worked. NXT still loses every single week. It has made no difference whatsoever having her on NXT television. And in fact, she is overexposed to the max because if she was just working with the NXT women, that would be one thing. But now we got Charlotte on NXT. We got Charlotte on Raw. We got Charlotte on SmackDown. I don't see the other women's champions on NXT and on the other shows. So now she's overexposed to the max. Tired of seeing her. She had to lose. She had to drop that title. The only question is to who. Do you give Rhea her second run with the belt, or do you give it to Io? Because Io was the one person who has yet to hold the championship, and she's one of the best that they have in that entire company. I'm talking Raw, SmackDown, or NXT, not just NXT. Io Shirai is one of the best performers, male or female, that they have in that entire company. So this was a well-deserved win for Io. I love the fact that they had streamers and confetti. And Mauro even pointed out it was very much like Japan, very Japanese custom to have the streamers coming down. This, unfortunately, would have worked so much better in front of a live audience, in front of 10,000 people. They would have gone crazy for Io winning the championship. They would have been throwing streamers into the ring. It would have been a very special moment for her. I'm sure it was still special, but you can't replicate that. I don't care how many people you have in the audience. you know, who are, you know, conspiring to chant "This is awesome" every 5 seconds. It's nice that they're trying, but you can't fully replicate that moment. I'm glad that there were some people there cheering, but I do feel badly that, she finally gets her moment, and unfortunately, she didn't have people there to cheer her on, but it was the right outcome, and I thought they had a very good match. It was a capper to overall what I thought was a very good takeover show, but it did not rise to the level of those great takeover shows that we're so accustomed to. And a big part of that is the fact that the fans are, it's like they say, the fans are the third man when you talk about football and sports. Same thing in wrestling. The fans are the third man. But I enjoyed it. What did you guys think? I don't know. Let's take a look. Over 1,600 votes in so far. You guys look like you enjoyed the hell out of this show based on what I'm seeing here. That's pretty good. Over 1,600 votes so far. 85.7% thumbs up, 14% thumbs down. So an excellent score for NXT TakeOver. And again, if you have not yet voiced your opinion on what you thought of the show tonight, the poll's going to be up for another 72 hours. So you have got plenty of time to go and cast your vote and let me and everybody else know what you thought of this show. I mentioned earlier that Road Dogg had given an interview on Corey Graves' podcast. You know, WWE has a podcast network of their own. If New Day has a podcast, Corey Graves has one, and he had Road Dogg on. I am going to clip that segment from today's show, just so you know. I am going to get that up onto the YouTube channel for those who may have missed it. Although I do encourage everybody to go listen to the full show. But I talked a little bit about what Road Dogg had to say. You know, Road Dogg is very much, you know, embedded in that NXT system. He's a big part of that NXT system. And he made some very revealing comments. You know, we saw Adam Cole retain the NXT championship tonight. Perhaps that means he's not main roster bound anytime soon. And it was very sobering to hear Road Dogg openly talk about the fact that, look, if this guy was the size of a Karrion Kross, Adam Cole would be the Universal Champion by now. You know, and I was talking about what does that mean for his future when the day comes that he does get the call to go to Raw or SmackDown? You know, does Tommaso Ciampa have the right idea when he says, "I'll retire rather than go to Raw or SmackDown"? I mean, what, you know, if you're Adam Cole, you've got to feel a little awkward, I would think, about those comments. And Road Dogg said that Adam Cole is his favorite. He had nothing but praise for him, but yet he kind of slipped that in there and said, boy, if he was this guy's size, he'd be the Universal Champion right now. What does that mean for the future of Adam Cole on the main roster? I don't know. That doesn't sound very good. So if you did not see the or listen to the full podcast earlier today, watch for that clip tomorrow morning. And when it goes up, I want to hear from you guys, because I pose a very interesting question at the end of that clip about what it is that you look for in pro wrestling. Is size really the most important thing? Do you not like the smaller guys? You have to look a certain way, or can you look past that? And is it more about, you know, promo ability, in-ring talent, charisma that carries you? Because Adam Cole is not a big man. You know, and I'm watching matches like the one he had tonight that are very good, and he's tearing it up in the ring. No one's doubting his talent, but it makes me wonder, you know, what does his future look like on a Monday Night Raw? What does his future look like on a SmackDown? I mean, imagine Adam Cole in the ring standing opposite Drew McIntyre. What would that face-to-face look like? You know, you can't say size doesn't matter. It does. But I thought it would be interesting to get everyone else's perspective, because I feel like everybody just looks for different things in their pro wrestling because it is very subjective. John, thank you for the $2. Alex Ramirez with the 10 spot. Do you think Velveteen Dream now will be called up to the roster? Yeah, I mean, what else do you do with him? He's lost twice to Adam Cole. He can't wrestle for the belt. I don't know what else you do with him if you don't call him to one of the other shows. And good day from Australia. That's a terrible accent. I apologize. The 90s guy, thank you for the super chat. All the way from the land down under. I wonder what time it is in Australia. Maybe 6 hours ahead, maybe? Maybe 5 hours? Maybe he's 5 hours ahead. Well, if you're not tired of In Your House, don't forget, when you're done watching this stream, we're not done yet, but when we're done watching this stream here, there is a top 10 video that I recorded over an hour long here on the channel. Top 10 WWE In Your House matches of all time. Talking about In Your House, this is, after all, the 25-year anniversary, which is why there's so much In Your House fever. And decided to take a little trip down memory lane. For those of you who want to join me, that is elsewhere on the channel, for those who are interested. I still can't believe I have this. I'm not going to get over this. I, of all the things, and there's things I wish I had that I don't have, and yet I still have this. Ah, me. Now, what I would like to do, I would like to hear from some of you, but I want to make it very clear that we are going through a speed round here. Okay, so we're live here on a Sunday night. You guys are joining me. I'm so happy that you guys have chosen me for your stream. I hope you enjoyed the review, and if you did, hit that thumbs up. But we'll take some calls now, and I don't have time to take calls from everybody, so I want to get to as many people as I can before I call it quits tonight. So if you got a question, that's great. If you have a comment, that's great. Keep it pithy. There's a word for you. Try to keep it limited, because, and don't be offended if I move past you. I just want you to know that. Okay, don't be offended, because we are going to speed along here, and we don't have a lot of time to kill. So let us go to 815.
Hey, fellow monster, how you doing?
Hey, this is Sean. What's going on, Sean?
Hey, not a whole lot. All right, real quick question.
Mm-hmm.
We were just talking about possible NXT stars getting called up, and, you know, throughout the years, we get really excited, and obviously Raw and SmackDown suck it up. Is there a way sometimes that the NXT star, like, say, Ricochet, can just say, hey, I want to go back to NXT. What you're doing with me sucks.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, Cesaro and Luke Harper are two examples of people who, now they had already moved on to the main roster like Ricochet has. But they, in interviews, have said that they went to Triple H and said, look, I want to work in NXT. Can I do it? And they, like in the case of Luke Harper, he got shot down. In the case of Cesaro, they let him do one match, I think, in NXT UK against, was it Ilya Dragunov, I think it was. They it's their call. It's Triple H's call. It's Vince McMahon's call. If Vince thinks he has a need for you on the main roster, then you're not going to go back to NXT. So you could ask, but guys have asked and they've been turned down. So look, I don't blame any of them if they want to go to NXT, because look, I mean, the way some of them are used, how can you blame them? If I'm Chad Gable, I'd be begging to go back to NXT. 631.
Hey, Solid Monster, this is Cliff.
Hey, Cliff.
Just want to get your thoughts on Mauro Ranallo. I find him very irritating, and I find myself during the show saying I would rather listen to Tom Phillips than Mauro Ranallo. I know it's not religious, but I just want to get your take on that.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. You know, Mauro can be his own worst enemy, because he's got the puns, right? He's very punny. He's got the play on words, and sometimes it makes you, a little... It's just very corny and very cheesy, but he's very good at what he does. You know, there's a reason that he called, one of the biggest boxing fights of all time, and he calls MMA. You know, he's not just a wrestling announcer. Can he be obnoxious? Yes, he can be. Jim Ross back in the day could sometimes be obnoxious. That doesn't make him any less of an announcer. I think having Mauro there is good for the company. He is good at what he does. He does bring a certain credibility. Can he be a little over the top? Yes, he's not perfect. And there are times where I do have to kind of tone down or tune out the announcing. But for the most part, I think he's pretty bang on when it comes to big matches. So I don't have a whole lot of negative things to say about him. He's not perfect, but I've heard much worse. I can tell you that. I've heard much worse from people who did not belong in that position. And Mauro Ranallo does belong in that position. He is a pro. 956.
Mamma mia. How you doing, Jason?
Mamma mia.
Hey, I want to talk about the match between Adam Cole and Keith Lee.
Okay. Well, Adam Cole and Velveteen Dream?
Yeah. No. Well, Johnny Gargano. Sorry about that.
Okay. Yeah, you got me all confused. Okay, Johnny Gargano and Keith Lee.
Yeah, Johnny Gargano and Keith Lee. Sorry. The only thing that kind of disturbed me about the match was whole, you know, poking at the eye, since, you know, I am a blind person.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I know the story. Yeah. I know the story they were trying to tell, though. I mean, they, you know, look, if you're in a fight and you take away a guy's vision, look at it from the perspective of a real fight, right, or a real match. If this guy wants to win the championship, sure. like if I'm Johnny Gargano and I'm mm-hmm. challenging for a championship, and I don't think I can beat this guy because this guy is twice my size, he could kill me, right? I've got to find a way. I've got to figure out a way to win. You know what I'm going to do? I might take my house keys and I might jam them into his eye if I think it's going to help me win the title. Because if he can't see, then he can't track me down.
Exactly.
So I, you know, your perspective, I understand that. But to me, I thought it actually made sense for a heel to do that.
Yeah, I get it. And shout out to the crowd for seeing the Imperial March, too.
But what did you think of the match overall?
It was fun. I liked it. It was fun. Yeah. The whole pay-per-view was a thumbs up.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I don't see how this show, if you watch this show from start to finish, could be anything but a thumbs up. You could have it as a weak thumbs up. You could have it as a solid thumbs up or a big thumbs up. There was nothing thumbs down on the show. You know, they had six matches on the show, which seems like a lot for a takeover. I think usually it's five. And there was not a bad match on the show. The opening match was fine. It just had no business being on the show. It was the weakest match of anything on the card. But I thought Finn Balor and Damian Priest may have had the best match of the night. I enjoyed that match a lot. The brawl, I think, the backlot brawl was pretty fun. The women's main event was very good. Karrion Kross, that went exactly the way that it should have gone. So, yeah, that sounds like a thumbs-up show to me. Let us go to 443.
Hey, Sava, it's Kyle from Baltimore.
Hey, Kyle.
So the match I really enjoyed was between Damian Priest and I forgot who faced Finn Balor. That match was really, really good. I thought that match was insane. It kind of got me kind of like being in pain a little bit over the bumps that Priest took.
Yeah. When
Priest did that on that step, that was brutal. That was a bad landing. I thought I was, but overall the match is really good. But that landing was like, oh god, I lucky tried to let's kill the guy.
I hope he's okay. I mean, I'm gonna check in a second just to make sure there's no, you know, bad injury update. He's probably okay, but just watching it, it was just brutal.
Yeah.
But overall thoughts, like overall thought on the show. What would you say?
Yeah, the show itself, I thought was really good. And you said before, too, about the fans being they had the Attitude of fans there. I personally kind of like it because the last couple of weeks, when it was empty arenas, it was very quiet and awkward. And I personally like that. So the fact that they now have people there, at least making noise, at least it's at least better, yeah. at least to me, because it's like it's some reaction of some sort.
Yeah, no, I'm not by any means. Yeah, no, look, I am not saying it's a bad thing that they have people in the audience. I've been begging for that now for a few months. So when they started putting people in the audience, I was thrilled because it doesn't hurt the show at all. It helps the show a little bit. I mean, Monday Night Raw some weeks is just beyond saving. I don't care who you put in the crowd. I mean, Raw is what it is. So by no means do I think it's a bad thing they have people in the crowd. I'm just saying you can't replicate the experience of having you and me and people like, you know, who are paying to come to the shows and make noise and bring signs and who really get into the shows and they're not there playing a part. That's basically what the message is that I was trying to get through. But yeah, no, I have no issue with them having people in the audience. I think it helps the shows and they should do more of it. But maybe tone a few of those chants down because some of them do seem a little forced. I'm not gonna lie. 516.
Hey Jason, it's Jared. How are you?
Hey Jared.
Good show tonight. Two thumbs up. Very refreshing to hear your little thing on Road Dogg earlier today on the podcast. Usually he's so pro WWE, it was actually nice to hear him say something that you know, maybe he shouldn't have said, you know, in an article or to somebody in the media. So, because he's always defending this company.
Yeah, it's their own podcast, though, right? So, you can't really get the guy in trouble. Yeah. I mean, it's their podcast. It's not like he did an interview with, my podcast or ESPN or something.
Just for a while there, a couple of years ago, he would defend anything WWE. He was on SmackDown. Anything that they would do, he'd be defending. And, you know, it was just nice to hear that, you know, he actually has some criticism for some of the things they do. And it was nice to hear an insight on why they do it. But I really think they stumbled onto something great with these cinematic matches. The Money in the Bank, Taker, AJ, you know, Bray and Cena. I think that it needs to continue. Fans, even when they come back, I think it really adds to the show. And, you know, they can piece it together, you know. It's just they don't have to do it on the fly. They can piece it together, edit in, edit out what they need to do. And overall, I thought it was a good show. And, I can't stand Raw or SmackDown. You know, I'm a big AEW guy, but this was a nice escape too tonight, and it's great. That was almost just a 2-hour show. Nothing shut down our throat. And I think Karrion Kross, the world is his oyster, man. Just don't mess him up. Just don't mess him up.
Yeah.
When he comes up to the main roster.
Yeah. We said that before about guys, but I think again he's got every tool that you could possibly look for. If I'm a promoter, I'm looking at this guy and I'm saying, okay. He has the size. He has this look about him in his eyes. He looks like, you know, he could probably rip you to shreds. He can talk. He's very articulate. In the ring, so far, he's carried himself fine. We haven't seen him in a long match yet. In due time, we'll get there and we'll see how he does. But, you know, with Scarlett in his corner and the whole big elaborate entrance, I think it bodes well for his future. He's not a guy who's going to go out and get himself into trouble. If he can stay healthy and not get hurt, I think, you know, like, the sky's the limit. The sky is the limit for what you can do with this guy. And I said when before he signed with WWE and he finally got released and free from his Impact contract that if I'm AEW, I'm making a play for this guy. And there were reports at the time that AEW never really made a play for Killer Kross. Now, I don't know that to be fact, but if that's the case, that's a huge loss for AEW because this guy would have been a huge pickup for them. He would have been a huge pickup for anybody. I can't fathom that AEW didn't send feelers his way or would not have been interested in picking him up. But WWE did, and I agree. Hopefully they know what they're doing and he'll succeed. Because if he doesn't, I don't think that's going to be on Karrion Kross. 276.
Hey, what's up, Soul Monster?
What's going on? Who am I talking to?
My name's Drew. I've called in before. Just to let you know, I enjoyed the In Your House thing you did, and curious, you said Shawn Michaels Undertaker Hell in a Cell. That's got to be the greatest match in WWE history, in my opinion.
Well, some people would say that it is. I would say if it isn't, it's definitely in that top 10, maybe even top 5. I mean, that's how great of a spectacle the whole thing was. And then Kane's debut and you know, it being the first, they you know, it's kind of hard to top that. But, you know, Shawn and Undertaker just had this great chemistry together in a lot of their matches. And you can't do an In Your House countdown and not have that match somewhere in the top three. You just can't. So I appreciate the feedback, though. I enjoyed putting that list together. It was not necessarily the easiest thing to do because my original list had, I think it was 14. I said 14 or 15 matches, and then you got to cut, and you know. But I think what I put together is pretty solid. You guys can let me know once you watch the video. 631.
Hey, Solo Monster, how's it going? I really like the NXT Takeover tonight, and I just got two quick, short questions for you.
Sure.
With this Dexter Lumis situation that's been going on with the Undisputed Era. Do you think that Adam Cole's next challenger is going to be Dexter Lumis? And how, out of 10, what would you rate Scarlett Bordeaux's outfit tonight? Thank you.
Well, you know, Scarlett, they call her the smoke show. That's her whole gimmick. And that was her whole character before she even came into WWE. I don't even rate them anymore. She's a beautiful woman. She fits the part. She's great. I don't know what else to say about Scarlett Bordeaux. Scarlett is... I think it was a mistake to drop the Bordeaux name. I do, because here's a woman who plays off of her, like, sexuality, right, with her role. That whole name, this, the Bordeaux name, just, it's such a, it just fits. And to drop it, because they love their one names, you know, Karrion Kross, eventually they'll just be Kross. We all know that. Once he hits the main roster, well, I guess NXT is technically main roster in a way, too, but when he hits Raw and SmackDown, you know it's going to be Kross, right? It's going to be Kross and Scarlett. I would not have dropped Bordeaux. Bordeaux fits. Bordeaux fits somebody like her, I gotta say. I have to say I'm a big Scarlett Bordeaux supporter. 914.
Hey there, fellow monster. This is AJ coming at you from Yonkers, New York. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. AJ is coming at me tonight.
Indeed I am. one quick comment, one quick question.
Sure.
The Velveteen-Adam Cole match, I thought that was pretty interesting. Didn't really agree with the finish, though, just because, yes, I'm a big Dream fan, no big secret about that, but I thought the sequence of bumps leading up to the finish, I didn't really see why Dream didn't kick out of that Canadian Destroyer, because, like, everyone kicked out of the Canadian Destroyer.
No, it was on chairs.
Adam Cole.
Yeah, but it was on a pile of chairs.
So, yeah, but, okay, and Adam Cole, he took two bumps on the pile of chairs, and he fell on a car, and he got glass shattered all over his arms and back. And you're telling me he ain't got a kick out of that? Oh, my God. But other than that, it was pretty fun. Pretty fun overall. Next quick question. Very simple. Who's next to face Adam Cole? If you ask me, after watching these good matches tonight, I think it's going to be Finn Balor. I think he deserves another shot at the NXT title. What do you think?
Finn Balor, I think, would be a good choice. I think, and that'd be a great match, I'm sure. You know, they've had, we've seen them have a good match before. The caller before you, I didn't really answer his question. I forgot, but, he mentioned Dexter Lumis. Dexter Lumis has an ongoing issue with Undisputed Era. And so it would kind of make sense if he kind of worked his way into contention somehow to challenge Adam Cole. But, it would almost feel to me like more of a placeholder. I don't know. Dexter Lumis winning the championship. Road Dogg, in the interview that he did, also talked about Dexter Lumis. He's been very hands-on with Dexter Lumis. The stuff where he on television last week, he kind of drew a drawing or an illustration of the Undisputed Era members. He was, like, driving them or something. Actually, you know what? That played into what we saw here on the show. That played into what we saw tonight. Didn't he draw a picture of him, like, driving the members of Undisputed Era? Wasn't that I think that was his picture that he drew on Wednesday. And here we saw him driving away with them in the trunk of the car. So there you go. There's some storyline continuity there. I think Dexter Lumis could be in line. Finn Balor, though, would be a fine choice. You know, and he beat Damian Priest. I would like to see the stuff with Priest continue. So maybe he gets a shot at the title on television. Priest costs him the championship. That leads to their rematch. And then Damian Priest gets the win in their rematch. Maybe that's the direction they're going in. Let us try 267.
Hey, Solo.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, I'm all right. I had two quick questions. First of all, the show was amazing. Finn Balor was my favorite match so far. I had a question outside of NXT.
Mm-hmm.
It was more so business-wise. Do you think, I was watching AEW, New Japan, the entire Kenny Omega run and NXT, do you think Vince is more entertainment than wrestling-based nowadays? Because it seemed like New Japan and NXT tells their stories from their matches, so you could tell. Do you think Vince McMahon is more so entertainment-based now and comedy and promo? Because I don't see too much of that in New Japan or NXT.
Well, I mean... It's always been that way. That's not a modern day thing. Vince McMahon has always been about the entertainment aspect of the show. That's been the case for 30 years. I mean, if you're going to compare WWE to New Japan, it's hardly a revelation that New Japan is very sports oriented, very in-ring. You don't see a lot of skits in New Japan. Two totally different products. That's what I like about it, right? Having some variety is a good thing. I just wish WWE television was more, tolerable, because I think some of their shows are absolutely just unwatchable. and then they'll have a week where the show is actually pretty good, and then it'll go back to being unwatchable. It's like maddeningly inconsistent. But I wouldn't want every wrestling promotion to be all comedy and all skits and all entertainment, just like I wouldn't want every company to be just like New Japan. You know, I kind of like my doses of New Japan because it is something different. But Vince McMahon has always been... I mean, are you new to all this? Vince McMahon is the one that had all these ridiculous gimmicks going back to the 80s when he took over from his father. Going back to Uncle Elmer's wedding on Saturday night's main event and all the ridiculous gimmicks from the early 90s and fucking Hector Guerrero hatching from an egg. The Undertaker is one of those gimmicks that just so happened to catch on. Kane, like, it's always been entertainment-based. The in-ring product has always taken a back seat to gimmicks and character development and stories. They're storytellers, but that's always been WWE. That's not a new revelation at all. That's just how Vince McMahon has always been. So to answer your question, the answer is yes. 508.
Hello, Tom. It's a great show today.
My show or NXT? You got to specify.
Both.
Both. Okay, good. So what would you say was your favorite match, though, of all the matches on the card tonight?
The Adam Cole Velveteen Dream match. It felt like an ECW match.
Well, it did with the pile of chairs. It kind of took me back to ECW a little bit.
Okay. I have a question non-NXT related.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do with the Impact title since Tessa cannot leave Mexico?
Well, I think they're going to come up with something on television this week. I thought I had read something about them making some kind of announcement about what they were going to do. My guess is they're going to have to strip her and maybe have a tournament or something, because there's no telling when you're going to get her back. She's your champion, right? So you got to have maybe an interim champion or something, and when she's ready to come back. Same thing they did with the Cruiserweight title in WWE, right? Phantasma just won the title. Jordan Devlin has his version of the belt over in the UK. At some point, the two of them are going to butt heads and go toe-to-toe. So that would be my guess as far as what they're going to do. If you can't get her back anytime soon, then you got to do something. You can't just have the championship on ice for 6 months. That's kind of crazy. So that would be my guess as far as what Impact is going to do with Tessa Blanchard. Haven't heard her name mentioned in a few weeks. Out of sight, out of mind. It's been out of sight, out of mind with Tessa now for a while. Maybe for her, that's a good thing, though, given some of her history. 248.
Hey, it's Markel.
Hey, Markel. What's going on?
Nothing. Do you think this will be the last time we see Charlotte on NXT?
I hope so. I believe so, yes.
She's going to get a rematch.
Well, yeah, but there's no reason for her to be on the show. If she's not the champion anymore, she had her run. And now she can go back to SmackDown. Or is she on Raw? She's on the Raw roster, right?
Who knows?
I think she's on the Raw roster. Yeah, no, let her go back to Raw. She had her run. She had some matches with some of the NXT ladies, and some of them were good. And now she can move on, and Io can wrestle Rhea, and they have other women on the roster. Give them some breathing room now. Give them some time to show their stuff.
All right, that's all I want to know. I'll let you go to your other caller.
All righty. Thank you, Markel. I'll talk to you on Facebook probably. That was from Markel. 347.
Hey, Salamanca, man. I'm a huge fan, man.
Thank you.
And by the way, man, you and my mother have the same birthday, but you and I both lost our mother. You both lost our mother to breast cancer. So.
Oh, that sucks. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, man. I bother you on Twitter a lot. So, like, yeah. My question for you is, do you see NXT really becoming a superior brand over WWE Raw and SmackDown, even AEW?
Do I see NXT, you said, becoming the dominant brand?
Yes.
No. We've seen NXT go head-to-head with AEW now for a while. And, you know, look, it's been pretty, you know, it's been pretty close. There are some weeks that NXT will win. By and large, AEW usually edges them out. Neither show does great on Wednesdays. You know, if the shows were doing great, they'd both have well over 1 million viewers. Not counting DVR. Counting DVR, they have over 1 million viewers. But I'm talking like live overnight viewers. So as good as AEW has done and TNT is happy, and that's great, They could be doing better. NXT should be doing better. I don't believe that just because you can get it on the network the next day, there's 500,000 other people who are waiting for Thursday nights to watch it on the network. NXT just doesn't have the kind of momentum that AEW has right now. I don't see NXT becoming the dominant brand. I think that would kind of go against its identity. It was always sort of this other alternative brand for people who weren't thrilled with what they were seeing maybe on the main roster. So that would kind of go against the whole concept, I think, of what NXT is or what NXT used to be anyway. But no, I don't see that happening. Let's see, for 415, you're on the air.
Hey, hello?
Hello.
Hey, hi. Hey, Zell Monster.
Hey, hi.
I just watched TakeOver, and I'm looking on Twitter right now, and this might be a little off topic, but tomorrow they're announcing rematch between Asuka and Charlotte for Raw tomorrow. And I'm like, as soon as Io won, and I was so damn happy she did, it was like, ah, fuck, here comes Charlotte back. And now she's going to bury Asuka again and probably mess up Kairi Sane like she did at TLC and bury the Raw roster again.
Nah,
so it's like,
I
kind of wanted her to stay the fucking NXT, you know?
Like, yeah, well, no, I mean, she's had her run in NXT. I'm not surprised they're doing that. I'm not surprised. I mean, if she's done with the NXT title, then what did you expect? I mean, she's not going to go to Raw and start, you know, losing to lower level women on the roster. And Charlotte is a big star in the company. She's a big name. I'm not too concerned about it just because I think the ultimate goal is to get the championship onto Shayna Baszler. And to do that, it would make more sense for it to be Baszler and Asuka and not Baszler and Charlotte. So I'm a little concerned as somebody who does not want to see Asuka drop the championship just yet. It worries me a little bit. Plus, she's going to defend the title against Nia Jax on Sunday. So I don't see there being a title change. I think the title is safe for now. But, you know, Charlotte and Asuka have had some good matches. Even the match they had on television last week was pretty good until the stupid finish. I would not be going back to it again so quickly. You're going to burn people out on the match. You know, Charlotte and Asuka could be a big pay-per-view match still months down the road. And I just feel like they're just throwing it out there for no reason. But yeah, I think the title is safe for now. Of course, I say that now, right? Stranger things have happened. We'll come back and see if I regret those words, I guess, in a week. And 502.
Hey, Mr. Monster. What's up?
Hey, Chris. What's going on?
How's it going?
It's going great. We are here talking about In Your House. I never thought I'd be doing a live stream talking about an In Your House show, but here we are, 25 years later.
No. It's got to feel like I'm in the 90s all over again.
I wish I was in the 90s. This is the worst year ever. I would gladly be transported back to the 90s. Please bring me back to even 95, which was like early in 95 was an awful year in WWE. I would gladly go back to that year right now. 2020 is the absolute drizzling shits. In the words of Ole Anderson, it is the shits. I'd happily go back to the 90s.
Well, you kind of helped take me back to the 90s with your little top 10 list, because I really hadn't seen a lot of the in-house pay-per-views. So
yeah, and
when you made your list, I was kind of
and there's
going
great
back
matches.
And checking out the matches.
Yeah, there's great matches. And
that Stampede match?
Yeah.
That was, oh my God.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. And
yeah,
it's actually kind of depressing because now we have no fans. And then you go back and you see how rabid those fans were. Those were like Canadian
right.
fans in the middle of a USA versus Canada feud. Like, I don't think we could ever get back to that point. But anybody watching right now, if you have not seen the old In Your House shows, there were some gems on those shows. Just use my list. And I did three or four matches, honorable mentions. I mentioned like 14 different matches. You could find all of them on the network. And if you've never seen them, I would encourage you to go back and watch every single one of them because they're all great.
Yeah, those are the ones that I still, like, I watched all the ones on your top 10 list, but I didn't watch your little recommendations at the end there, but I need to go back and check that out.
Yes, you do.
But no, the pay-per-view was pretty good. I kind of, I guess because I just watched those matches, so I was like, I would like to have a little more like the them kind of lean a little heavier on the nostalgia thing. But you know, it's all good. It is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, but, they lean pretty heavy into it. I'm not going to complain too much about that because they did lean pretty heavily into it. I mean, between the intro and the music and the set and the Ico Pro, and I'm pretty happy with that. That was one of the things I enjoyed the most about the show.
Yeah, the Ico Pro commercial, that caught me off guard.
You've got to want it. I wish I had some of that here. I could show it to you, but I wasn't touching Ico Pro back then.
Well, my question for you, though, is that so since Adam Cole won tonight, do you think that, like, I mean, he's already had the championship for so long. Do you think when he drops the championship, that's when they're going to, like, go on and move him on up or Undisputed Era up? Because, I don't know, it doesn't really seem like they're doing much with Undisputed Era. And, I that's why I kind of had a feeling, like, Adam might drop the belt tonight and they would move him up. Not that I want them to go to the main roster. But
yeah, but you know what, though? We kind of joke about that, but let's look at this. If they don't go to the main roster and they just continue in NXT, Undisputed Era has been down in NXT for a very long time. What do you do with them? Like, once they get past the stuff with Dexter Lumis, because obviously that's going to play itself out, what do you do with them? Do you split them up? Even if you split them up and they're still in NXT, again, you're in the same situation. What do you do with them? So it's not like, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say that. I mean, they do have the opportunity, though, to also elevate, like if they go to a Raw or SmackDown. Like, I think that they're like a strong enough faction that they might be able to elevate one of the shows, kind of in the same way that Shield did, you know, when the Shield came in. It was
sure.
Like, I didn't even know of the Shield until they came into the main
and
roster.
The Shield was great. The Shield was fantastic.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't completely poo-poo on the idea of like somebody going to the main roster, but you know, my thing was when I was watching tonight, I kind of had that feeling that like, well, if he drops the belt, then I guess that's when we know that they're going to go on and move him on up. But you know, at the same time, you know, it could be a good thing.
Could be. Until it happens, you just don't know. But, you know, it's just a weird situation, because even just staying in NXT, you get to a point where what more is there left for you to do? You know, to grow, and the roster is not, it's not as big of a roster as you have on Raw and SmackDown. Raw and SmackDown do have, you know, more talent that they haven't wrestled before, that they could go through, which I'm sure they would love to work with new opponents. But you do worry about their future. It's not a great situation, I think, for them to be in. Hopefully they're being paid well. As long as they're being paid well, right? That's one of the most important things. 412.
Solo Monster, this is JD in Pittsburgh. First time caller. Love your stuff. I listen to you guys all the time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I got to say the pay-per-view was pretty good tonight. The Gargano and Keith Lee match was a great match. I think Gargano's on his way up to the main roster. I think they're going with him that way. What they do with him, it remains to be seen. Now, I did hear something about next week's pay-per-view about Drew and Bobby Lashley. A friend of mine has got it on good authority that there's talk Bobby Lashley might win the title for McIntyre. Why would you do that when McIntyre's been one of your best faces over the last 5 or 6 weeks?
Well, you could argue that he's a babyface, and it's better if the babyface chases. So if he gets screwed, let's say, out of the championship, and now Lashley, who's never had a run with the belt, now you give Lashley a run with the belt, which kind of gives him some credibility, I guess, which he's been lacking, given some of the stuff they've done with him. And then Drew has to fight to try to get the belt back, and you know, maybe at SummerSlam or something, he wins the belt back. I wouldn't do that either. But you could argue that that's something that maybe they should think about doing. You know, guys, even guys like Austin, right? They didn't have long runs with the championship. They got screwed, they lost it, and then eventually they won it back. Outside of them wanting to do that, I agree, it's too soon. I mean, he's got a lot of momentum right now. I think Drew has done really well. I might not be a huge fan of Monday Night Raw, But I'm not going to put that on Drew McIntyre. He's done a very good job so far, I think, in the role as champion, and I would not change the title. But there is one more aspect to it also. You know, Lashley is now managed by MVP. So if the goal is to possibly build up a little MVP faction, maybe he'll have more clients that he brings in, his guys have to win. So to keep him strong and to give his group, if he forms one, some credibility, then you could say, well, put the title on Lashley and give him a little run until Drew wins it back. I still wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it either. There's been also talk about Brock Lesnar showing back up, maybe facing Lashley. Do we see that match still happening at some point?
It's possible. I wish they didn't wait so damn long to do it, because I personally don't have a lot of excitement to see it. Now, maybe they can get me interested if Brock shows up one day and they have some big, believable pull-apart brawl and, you know, they build it up in like a sports type of way. I don't need Lana involved or any of that nonsense. You could do it, sure. It's a match that's never been done before. Lashley, I know, has been dying to get this match. We all know how it's going to go, right? It's going to be over in 3.5 minutes. There's going to be 15 suplexes, and Brock's going to win. So we've already pictured the match in our heads. They could do it. It's never been done before, and that's how they can bill it for the first time ever. Lashley, you know, with his MMA background against Brock Lesnar with his.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Well, keep up the good work. I enjoy your stuff. You keep up the good work.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Lashley against Brock Lesnar. Well, what do you guys think? I'll throw it to some of you in the chat. What do you think? Is that a match that you still, after all these years, have an interest in? Or would you rather see Drew McIntyre maybe defending the championship against the Jinder Mahal? Which is not going to happen now, because Jinder Mahal is back on the shelf. He just had knee surgery, and unfortunately for him, he's going to be out for a little while yet again. So if you're a Jinder fan, Jinder has been hindered. I'm sorry to say, we are not going to see the Maharaja for a while. I know you're all devastated. And let's go to 210.
Hey, Jason, this is Raul calling from your favorite wrestling town and everyone else's, Corpses Christi, Texas. How's it going, my man?
Corpses Christi, you got a lot of life in your voice. I'm surprised that anybody has that much life to them in Corpses Christi.
You
may be the loudest one in the city.
Probably. Otherwise, it's a dead crowd. A quick observation for you. It's kind of out there. But I noticed when Killian Cross was out there. What's his name?
Karrion Cross.
Whatever his name is.
Mm-hmm.
Karrion Cross, excuse me. When I saw his, you notice on his wrestling tights, and I'll preface this, this is an out there concept, but the SS on his tights look a little bit too far apart from the rest of the letters in his name. Do you think the times of having a Fritz von Erich being a Nazi and having Sergeant Slaughter being an Iranian sympathizer, are those days over in wrestling? I know WWE would not have either the balls, or they would definitely have the brains to not have a Nazi or a white supremacist on their television. But do you think those days of wrestling are over, especially in such, you know, trying times that we're in?
I think in WWE, yeah. I mean, look, they're a publicly traded company. They try to play it as safe as ever before. I mean, some of the things they've done in their history, when you look back on it, it's just, you're amazed that they got away with some of the stuff they got away with. They can't get away with it today. In today's climate, you know, for better or worse, and look, in a lot of cases, it's for the better. Some of the shit that they've done before, it's good that they can't get away with half that stuff today. But between social media and everything else, and as quickly as things spread, and they've got, you know, networks, and they've got sponsors, I can't speak for other promotions, because other promotions might look at stuff like that and say, hey, if we can get people talking about us, let's do it, right? Any publicity is good publicity. In WWE, yeah, you're not going to see... They're going to do some tasteless stuff. You can say the Jeff Hardy stuff is tasteless. The stuff that you're talking about, I can't see. I can't imagine them doing it. It would be suicide for them to try something like that.
It just got me thinking back to that famous Vince McMahon quote of "We make movies, pal." I would just think maybe there's some
out there Battlefield Earth
that maybe somehow they would make an impact by making a Nazi sympathizer. And let me preface this by saying I have no way of thinking that Cross is a Nazi sympathizer, or anything like that.
It got you thinking, and the answer is no. They're not going to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I didn't think they would. But anyway, it's great to talk to you, sir. You have a good night.
You too. So hopefully we can put that to bed. There will be no Nazi sympathizers on WWE television. Ron and Don Harris will not work for WWE. I was going to end, but I feel like we should try one more. I hate to end on that note. Let's go to 347. Is this this might have been somebody I took before? 347.
Yeah, this is me. I'm back, man.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I said 347. I think I know that number.
Yeah, man. I just heard the Nazi sympathizer.
I said we can't end on that. We can't end with Nazi sympathizer wrestling angles. So go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to. I'm not gonna say anything wild. I just want to say, as people, we have to unite. We're all one race, and it's human, regardless of everything. So everybody, we have to unite, regardless of what the craziness is going on in the world.
We're like Avengers.
Please.
Avengers unite. Yes. I like that. I like that.
Wrestling fans assemble. That's what it's going to be.
There you go.
Yeah, wrestling fans assemble. But I want to ask a last WWE question.
Mm-hmm.
Undertaker, do you ever see him actually retire from in-ring competition?
Yeah, he's going to have to. I mean, I think this television show is probably building to it, whether it's he's going to announce his retirement or he's going to announce maybe, Survivor Series is 30 years. Look, it's called The Last Ride. That's the whole point of the whole show. I feel like even he realizes this is the beginning of the end. So we've been kind of joking about it for, it feels like, 15 years that this guy is going to retire, and he never does, but Mother Nature and Father Time catch up with you, and I think it's caught up to him, and he realizes that, and we're close. We're close to the end for The Undertaker.
Yeah, we're very close. And Jason, I'm going to give you some more hip-hop quotes on Twitter, because I know I love your podcast. I love how you don't dabble in it, but you'll definitely, allude to it from time to time. I love that about you. I listen to all music, but whenever you need help about hip hop quotes, I can definitely help you, man.
Well, there
I'll
you go.
Send you some tweets whenever
you could be yeah. You could be a resource for me.
Yeah, you definitely, definitely. Because Jason, you have a ghetto past. I'm gonna let you know that right now.
Well, don't I look at
you? Have a ghetto
don't
past.
I look at? I mean, look at this ridiculous nonsense here. Yeah, of course, I look the part. All right. Well, listen.
Man, anyway, have a good night, and like I tell everybody, we have to unite. We're not going to do wrestling Nazis or Iraq sympathizers or Bret Hart in 1997 cutting promos about Canada.
Right.
And I love Bret, but Jerry Lawler recently.
Those days are over, unfortunately. Although I like the heat that angle got, U.S. and Canada.
Yeah.
I'd rather have an angle like that than a Nazi sympathizer, so.
I'll give you one more thing. There's only a few people that got away with doing this and doesn't make it okay. Robert Downey and Tropic Thunder got away with playing blackface, and DX got away with playing blackface. I found it funny as a black man.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, they're on point. So
yeah.
We're going to give them a pass, but they got away with playing blackface.
Yeah. Well, at the time, I think a lot of people found it entertaining, and today, and Triple H probably wishes that he can erase that footage, and of course he can't. So.
that doesn't make it okay, but it was still comical.
They made the most of it. They made the most of it.
Yeah.
All right, listen.
All right, brother.
I'm going to let you go. You too, man. You too. I appreciate the call, and I just want, I have so many, again, I can't get to everybody, but let's just take here, let's go to 501.
Good evening, this is Sean, and I just want to say I've been following your podcast for quite some time, I just want to say that you're probably one of the few AEW reviewers that can, you know, give a review of the show, but, you know, give it in a way that doesn't sound like you're biased regarding it.
Yeah, I try not to be.
I appreciate that.
I just call it like I see it. There are weeks where I don't like the show as much, and there are other weeks where I think it's a fantastic show, and sometimes people don't like to hear that, but the one thing I can always promise, whether it's AEW reviews or NXT reviews or next weekend I'm going to be back here live for Backlash, what you see is what you get. If I like the show and I thought it was a good show, you're going to get a positive review. And if I thought the show was the absolute worst thing in the world, then you're in for the rant of the century. So I call it like I see it, and I try to keep it honest when I do my reviews.
Yeah, because I know fandom is fandom, but sometimes it does kind of irritate me when you have that one of us and one of them type of mindset, because I remember this one AEW review by a YouTuber that said that the Undisputed Era and Adam Cole are bland when compared to, you know, Jericho and his posse. And, well, it's kind of like, you know, comparing apples and oranges. And because I like the Undisputed Era, I mean, Adam Cole is one of the reasons why I watch NXT.
Well, I don't know who said that, but to be honest with you, they're not wrong. I mean, I think part of the problem, though, is that Undisputed Era, they've just been around for so long that it's kind of reached a point where you're almost kind of bored with it. No one's saying Adam Cole is bad and Roddy is bad, but, you know, Inner Circle is like the newer thing, and they're doing these funny things every week with Sammy and everything. So I would agree with that. I would say the Inner Circle is most weeks far more entertaining than the Undisputed Era, but that doesn't mean the Undisputed Era is bad.
Yeah, I agree. But I think like the point, what I was getting is that you think like I guess you could take to say NXT is more of a brand than a company, but I think both are good, you know, in their own way. And they both also have their own faults.
Yeah, look, I mean, look, I'm going to let you go, but every company has its pros and they have their cons. WWE has pros and cons. NXT, if you look at it as its own brand, NXT has, you know, not been the most exciting thing week to week. I don't want to say it's a bad show. It's not a bad show. But I don't have the same level of excitement about NXT that I used to. I don't know if it's just the fan element. When I say the fans, you got to understand something. I'm not just saying, oh, these shows are so much worse because there's no fans. The fans not being there also dictates some of the things that they do. Like some of the stories that we would have seen in front of a live audience, we're not seeing now. They don't even necessarily have access to all of the talent who would normally be on the show. You got wrestlers who are stranded in the UK, stranded in Mexico. AEW had to change a little bit of its Double or Nothing card. Tony Khan said the plan wasn't to do Brody Lee and Jon Moxley. So when I talk about the fans, I'm talking about the fans being there, but also it has changed a lot of the shows and the match and the programs that we would have gotten. And that, I think, has harmed NXT. AEW's made the most of it. NXT, it's hurt a little bit more. But you're always going to have guys, fanboys or whatever. I just don't get... It's like the Bloods and the Crips with these fucking AEW and these NXT fans. You would think it's the Bloods and the Crips, for God's sakes. The way that these two fan bases go at each other. And it's like, look, both shows have flaws. Both shows have positive things to it. Like what you want to like, but this whole, like, rivalry, it's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. Dum-dums. They just take it too far. I don't understand where the hatred comes from. It just boggles my mind. I don't understand it, and I don't participate in that. But you know what I do participate in, and I hope you do too? This Twitter poll here. 85% of you, again, thumbs up on the show tonight. About 15% thumbs down. So an excellent score for NXT TakeOver. You guys have been killing it. Almost 2,000 votes so far. I want to get that closer to 3,000. So if you haven't voted, If you have not voted, I should say, then please do so in the next couple of days. I want to say thank you very much to John Falchetta yet again. Perfect Wolf earlier with the $10 drop. Wanted to know who would I book. Let's see here. Who would I book now that she is the champion? I assume you mean Io. Io Shirai. It's a good question. See, the problem with Dakota Kai, for example, is Dakota Kai has lost a lot of matches. Dakota Kai has to be... She's got to work her way back up into contention. You know what? I wouldn't mind seeing her and Rhea have a few more matches. I wouldn't knock Rhea out of the title picture just yet. I'd love to see them go at it. And a Stray Bullet. Man, that's my third Stray Bullet of the stream. What are you doing to me here? Now, thank you for the $5. Nexus Day today. Hey, Solid Monster. Mason Ryan had the look. Why do you think they did not give him a push to the main event scene? Because he sucked. Mason Ryan? Baby Batista, as I used to call him? He wasn't good. He certainly wasn't main event worthy. You're talking main event scene. I don't know what you're smoking. You said it's Nexus Day today. You sure it's not 420? I don't know what you were smoking before you sent that in. Mason Ryan in the main event scene? There's a reason why Mason Ryan didn't go to the main event scene. Just because you're big and you have muscles doesn't mean that you should be a main eventer. You've got to have talent. You've got to be able to cut promos. You've got to be able to work in the ring. You've got to be able to work a 10-minute match, a 15, 20-minute match. Mason Ryan in a 20-minute match? I mean, kill me now. Mason Ryan. I haven't heard that name in the longest time. Mason freaking Ryan. Wow. Anyway, I'm going to get out of here. Thank you guys so much for joining me. This has been fun. I'm going to be live again on Wednesday night for my AEW Dynamite stream. And I'm going to be back here. I'll have Backlash predictions here on the channel later in the week. Maybe Thursday. There is a pay-per-view next weekend. Yet another WWE pay-per-view. And that means that I will be back here live. Joining you again. For what may well be the greatest wrestling match ever. Between Edge and Randy Orton. I'm going to be very upset if it's not the greatest wrestling match ever. You might get the rant of the... You might get the greatest wrestling rant ever. Live here on the stream next Sunday if I don't get what I've been promised. If I don't get the greatest wrestling match of all time. Telling you, man, it's not going to be pretty. It is not going to be pretty. All right, I'm out of here. Thank you guys so much for all of your support, all the super chats. You guys were awesome. I will see you again on Wednesday night before we get to Backlash. And please, if you missed it, download episode 655 of the podcast. Over 2 hours. It went up earlier today. I'll have some clips going up on the channel the next couple of days. And until next time, that's all I got. So be well, stay safe, and I will see you all again back here real soon here on the YouTube channel. Until next time, take care, guys.